I'm Dean Murdoch, and this is Amazing Places.
I'm Susan Bryce, and I'm chair of the Victoria Regional Transit Commission, and I'm delighted to be invited here to talk transit with Dean today, and look forward to the conversation.
Thank you, Susan. It's a delight to have you on the podcast. You and I have talked back and forth for the last several months to find an opportunity to talk transit. So I'm so pleased that we're able to do it. And I'm actually surprised that I haven't had a transit discussion on Amazing Places yet, because it's so, you know, you hear so much about transportation in our region, and transit plays such an integral role in getting people around. So I'm really looking forward to hearing your thoughts. You know, I should just say, for folks who aren't familiar, Susan Bryce is a Saanich counselor and CRD director. She's obviously the chair of the Regional Transit Commission. You and I, Susan, spent 10 years together at Saanich Council, known each other a long time. And, you know, you bring such a wealth of experience and knowledge and perspective that we were chatting a little bit before we started the recording, just how much I have benefited from your insight and your thoughts on where things are going in Saanich and in our region. So it's been a real pleasure to have the chance to have you at the table and to hear your thoughts. And I'm grateful that you continue to serve and be so effective in Saanich and our region.
Thanks, Dean. Yes, I mean, it's transit was always considered important in a community, but it has in that last 10 years elevated itself everywhere because of all of the other aspects of climate change and affordability and social equity and all of these factors. And so transit is a very, very important part of our community, and I'm just privileged to be one of the people who is at the table and able to make some decisions.
Well, I couldn't agree more, and we're well served by you being there. I obviously want to talk about the impact of the pandemic on transit, but just your comment about social equity really kind of piqued my interest, because I totally agree that transit can play such an important role. So from your perspective, why is transit important? Why do we even have this public transit system?
The ability of people to move about, both for their work, for their pleasure, to just engage in the community, oftentimes is dependent on their ability to move. And obviously, transit and active transportation are the critical elements. We can talk about how, yes, it's important that we're also going to try and move people out of single occupancy vehicles. But for many people, they've either chosen not to have a vehicle or simply can't afford one. And so the transit system is a critical part of their ability to be totally engaged. And you were talking about the pandemic, and I reflect back to a year ago March and just how life changed for all of us. And in those first days, when I would go and see some of those buses moving with only one or two people on them, and then I thought, but maybe that's a person who's going to start the shift at the VGH at 9 this morning or 8 this morning, and that's how they're going to get there. And the pandemic almost brought into a starker reality how critical it is when people need that form of transportation to get to essential services that we're all looking for, but also just for their own lives. So somehow it distilled it down to me, anyway, when I looked at it, more to individual people rather than, you know, what's our ridership? Oh, it's, you know, 100,000 or this, and more kind of individuals, each person making decisions in their life. And this very important network, allowing them to travel around.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It really has exposed just how significant the impact of transit has on the impact that transit has on people's lives. But I think also really kind of, as the pandemic has had a way of doing, exposing these vulnerabilities, right? That there are a lot of folks out there that just don't have an alternative, that this is an option that they depend on. And especially when someone maybe putting themselves in a situation where they don't feel safe, or they, you know, under the circumstances where there's this risk of transmission, that they still need to be able to get to where they're going. And it really reinforces just how significant transit is in our community. And so I think on that point, you mentioned, you know, a couple, seeing buses roll by with a couple of people on them. Just how significant has the impact of the pandemic been on transit?
Yeah, well, and right at the beginning of the, I guess, March, April period, of course, it just absolutely plummeted way down to, like, you know, 15% compared to normal times. We're at about 45% now, and that seems to be holding. Dr. Henry, of course, claimed and called on transit to be an essential service. And so right at the beginning, we knew that regardless of what else happened, the system had to continue to run. And it was with the enormous support from our amazing transit operators that we were able to keep things going absolutely every day. We wanted to keep our drivers safe. So we had everybody, of course, entering from the back, which meant, of course, we weren't collecting any fares. But for that period of time, we were able to keep the system going, keep our drivers healthy. And then, of course, like every public service, it became increasingly sort of aware that wearing masks was going to assist. And so that also kind of moved in as well. And then as we got down and knew more about the pandemic and got more evidence from Dr. Bonnie Henry, we returned to front end loading and but distancing. And so, you know, with our capacity now, even though we're only running at a much lower rate, we would never in this time pack some of those buses. I mean, you see some of those double deckers over the years going from around the region towards, say, UVic. Those kind of, you know, and it may be in the future that we'll never be able to get back to that kind of capacity, having that many people on a bus. I mean, time will tell. It'll be looked at. We'll study it. We'll get information from health authorities and so on, and do the right thing.
That was that's a really good point, that we really have no way of knowing just how, you know, how much we're going to be able to let our guard down again. That that being in close proximity to folks, whether or not that's ever going to be a safe thing to do. I mean, outside of your bubble. But it also begs the question, just as, you know, assuming that at some point life does get back to normal, how do you then break that reservation that folks have, that they may be putting themselves in a situation that's undesirable if they are having to crowd onto a bus in order to get to where they need to go? You know, transit, as you mentioned, was in its highest functioning state when those buses were full and headed to whatever major destination around the region. What happens when the doors are open again, people are free to choose however they want to get around, and there's this really strong reluctance on the part of folks to put themselves in that space again?
I think it's an even bigger societal issue, and transit being an important aspect of it. And as people gain confidence, I see people talk to our riders now, many of whom just are relatively, back to normally using the service. At this point, people are distanced. At this point, people are wearing masks. It's going to take our whole society to move away from that fear that we have now, that it's not safe to be close to people and it's not healthy. And we will work step by step, rebuilding public confidence. And I am quite confident that whatever regulations the public health officials put out, that we will maintain those and just work every week to encourage more and more ridership. Because before the pandemic hit, of course, we had very big ideas about where we were going and what service was going to be included. And we haven't moved off that. In some ways, we've been kind of running two tracks. One, this sort of strange world of the COVID era and ensuring that we get people to their essential business. At the other hand, we have continued to plan for more bus priority lanes, electrifying the fleet, getting uptown as a hub, reaching out to all of the areas, more so in the Greater Victoria area, into the West Shore, to the peninsula, more service. So all of those positives we have kept working on. Obviously, just from a practical point of view, we've had to change some timelines, somewhat to do with finances, but the province and the federal government have been enormous supporters of transit, have provided millions of dollars so that we have been made whole from this devastating year of not collecting fares, having to sanitize buses, only being able to take a few people on the bus at a time. So, I mean, it had a huge, huge financial hit, but the federal and provincial government, wow, they sure delivered.
You see Ottawa boosting its greenhouse gas emission reduction targets that just happened this week, making them much more aggressive. And clearly there will need to be major support in order to get there. Transit stands out as a major factor in reducing greenhouse gas emissions. Do you think that we're entering a period now where there will be continued large support from senior governments to support transit, not just because of a revenue shortfall, but because it's really the major source of emission reduction?
I do. Both governments have clearly come to realize that, as you suggest, public transit and removing vehicles off the road is not only important, it's critical to achieving these targets. I know certainly here locally, we've set a 40% reduction by 2030. Now, 2030 might sound like a long time off, but that's just 9 years from now. And so we have a plan, we're electrifying the fleet, we've got an expressions of interest out now for the first 10, which will be in service, hopefully summer of 2022. The federal government has really made some strong statements about funding. On the other hand, it's always to do with capital, and that's great. Capital is important, but a huge part of transit service is the operating. And that's where, I have written to the federal government, and as I'm sure many others have too, saying we are so pleased to hear your support of transit. Let's keep it going. We're on board with you. please realize that operating the system also requires dollars. So, you know, I think we'll get there. And the province of BC, they are and have been actually for many, many years, bigger contributors to local transit than many provinces. You know, here, the province pays, it's a partnership between the local government and BC Transit, as you know, and, you know, they pay 35% of all the costs. That includes, you know, the operating and the capital, and the rest is borne locally.
It reminds me of the recent budget announcement last week that kids 12 and under are going to ride for free on transit, which I think is terrific news. Obviously that is a major relief to families with young kids who use transit regularly, but also I think helps to instill in young people the value of transit and getting the experience of doing it in the hope that they're going to continue to be transit riders when the day comes that they're going to have to buy a pass. But when I heard the announcement, obviously I was delighted, but the thought occurred to me, does this amount to handing more of the bill at the local level? Or has the province stepped in and said, we'll cover the difference?
We're still in early days with negotiations, but I hear from staff that the province is planning on funding that budget initiative. Which, of course, is good news because locally here, as I know you know, Dean, we just have for that, as you say, the province pays 35%, the rest of transit covered locally, and we've got only three levers. One of them is property tax, one is gas tax, a diminishing resource, and the other is the fare box. I think everybody on the commission, I can speak for everybody, in an ideal world, they would love that be fare free for all riders. And I think this is a good signal from the province that they want to start that process, as you say, start with young ones, youth, and make it a lifelong habit. But there has to be the dollars following all of these good initiatives.
It certainly makes you wonder. I mean, you mentioned the diminishing returns on gas tax, and I think you're probably referencing shift to electric and not being able to depend on that as a revenue source. And you really, it kind of begs the question, as we start to achieve these goals and we start to shift to other kinds of energy sources, you know, renewable energy sources, and we begin to see people riding transit, what kind of impact that's going to have when we've depended so much on those less desirable sources of energy as a way to generate revenue.
That's right. And, you know, these discussions are going on around the world. Obviously, these factors affect many, many transit systems, and our staff and certainly the provincial counterparts are engaged in finding out, you know, what are the options. I know we haven't in this province talked about road pricing, but some places, you know, road pricing becomes a factor. And so if people were even driving electric vehicles, that they would be in some way contributing to the overall, because even for people who never ride transit, it is so critical for them to have a robust transit system. That they must, and they do, they pay through it to their taxes for sure. But it's not as though it's one segment of the population uses and needs transit and the other segment of the population doesn't. For people who aren't even transit riders, they need a strong transit system.
Yeah. And we, you know, hear similar arguments. I've had similar arguments where we talk about active transportation as well, that there's a major benefit to non-active transportation users, because what is the alternative? If those people aren't biking or scootering or walking, they may be on the bus, but there's a strong chance they're going to be in a car. And that's going to mean more congestion and a more frustrating experience for people who do move around by the automobile. So there really is a shared benefit, and there's a reason why we all share in the costs.
And, you know, there's another one of the pandemic responses. Obviously, the number of people, cycling has always been high in Greater Victoria. But with the advent of the electric bikes and the pandemic and people can, and this is where the CRD is having to look at the trail system and look and see just exactly what needs to be done to ensure that it can be a recreational opportunity as well as a transportation hub.
It's a fascinating problem to encounter, isn't it? Because, I mean, these are the things that we've been hoping for, that we're going to start to see the crest of the wave and people will begin to take up these other forms of travel. And then I think in a very short amount of time, we've had to pivot and begin to adjust for what that's going to mean for our infrastructure. I mean, you hear stories about this happening in some European cities all the time, where they actually had to double the lane widths for the bike lanes because there were so many bikes using the bike lanes. It sounds like maybe the Lochside and the Galloping Goose are going to have similar experiences in those highly congested points.
That's right. And as you say, that's a good thing. And, you know, everything changes and evolves, and at Transit, we're always looking at all the other factors that are changing and having some early discussions about, what about transit on demand? People have obviously come to a point where through, you know, Uber and this type of thing, they are used to looking at an opportunity to order up a service they need. What role will transit play in that? Are there some of the areas that are further out that don't have frequent transit? You could have people register. You could send out one of your small buses, pick up a cluster of people, drop them to a link, and then they get on the regular bus to carry on their business. So all of these changes that are happening in all aspects of transportation have an application for transit as well.
It makes me think, and we talked a little bit before the recording about this point, talking about all of these various modes of travel and the, you know, as we see ups and downs in ridership and active transportation use and how people get around, and then transit having to reconcile all of those pieces. You can't help but think, would it be easier if all of that was managed under one roof? You know, you think about models where it is, they have the purview to consider all modes of travel in the planning decisions they make. Greater Victoria doesn't have that. You know, we've got a number of different organizations that are responsible, and municipalities primarily are responsible for the road infrastructure, for all travel infrastructure, with the exception of the bus. And so I'd love your thoughts. I know this is an ongoing discussion, and I've had David Screech on the podcast to talk about transportation governance in our region, but would love to hear from you where things are going and you know, what prospect we have of having a more coordinated version of transportation planning and implementation.
Well, down at the CRD table, we have identified transportation as one of the areas to focus on this year. And all the municipal senior staff have been engaged, BC Transit has been engaged, even BC Ferries has been engaged, the Island Corridor Foundation has been engaged. We've had meetings having all the perspectives at the table. Then how do you move that to sort of a decision-making entity? What would the governance be? Certainly the governance of transit has been looked at by a number of times by the province over the years, and they seem to come back to deciding that the current governance being under the Victoria Regional Transit Commission, because throughout BC, of course, BC Transit has many, some bus systems have got two buses, you know, kind of that's the size of their system. So it's unusual in the Greater Victoria area. And obviously at way back, it was decided that certainly within Greater Victoria, there needed to be a single entity making decisions about transit. And so that is in the legislation. As I say, they look at that from time to time, the province has, and certainly municipal and regional directors have also got, you know, their perspectives. The one thing I will say is that at the Victoria Regional Transit Commission, over the years, I have seen the commission members always having a regional perspective. I have never heard a Saanich or a Victoria or some other area say, you know, more resources should go, you know, to my entity and I'm going to sort of campaign for that. We all keep a regional perspective. We've got shared goals. Obviously, you know, not only sustainability, but convenience and reliability as being the factors. We know that as Victoria grows out, Lankford, for example, I mean, there's a Lankford transit facility out there where a lot of the work is done. But yeah, I haven't seen any, never have seen any inability to think regionally. And so that's a good thing. How you fold that into all of the other modes of transportation, I guess that's what the CRD, you know, is looking at. And so that's, that will be interesting in the time ahead. Obviously we have meetings and everybody speaks very passionately and hopefully we move the ball forward.
Now, I know you're an incredibly pragmatic person and you're going to make things work as the best way possible. But let's, you know, not thinking about your hat as a transit commissioner or as the chair, not thinking about your role at the CRD, but just having had the experience of sorting through the governance of transportation, what do you hope for? What do you think is going to be a solution that'll create a better way of coordinating those various pieces?
That's a really good question, Dean. And I think at the macro level, we all feel there should be some overarching coordination. That just seems like that's a good thing. Just intrinsically, without sort of analyzing it any further, that's a good thing. And then I always kind of drill down and I say to myself, okay, what are the things we can't do now because it's sort of not, you know, coordinated? Transportation and land use planning are the two things that are absolutely interlinked. Because municipalities have got the total control over land use, it would be a big shift for municipalities to relinquish any of their decision-making authority to an entity that would be considering, you know, the transit as well. So that I think is where we need to work at, okay, these are the kind of overarching principles. How does it actually work on the ground? Because, you know, with the land use and as you know, in Saanich has been a big proponent of the urban containment boundary and densifying. The more people you have in a densified area, the more transit you can provide, it's more efficient, it's more frequent, and this type of thing. But there are lots of different situations in the Greater Victoria area, and they are growing as well. We have also interest in getting to some of the parts of the community that hadn't been necessarily had direct communication, Beecher Bay Nation. We have been working with them, and there's going to be a service directly, you know, serving that community that is not, it wouldn't be considered like a neighborhood in that area. It is its own area, and we believe they should have the benefits of transit. So I'm wondering here on what we'd actually, as you raise the question, you know, how would you make sure all of that stayed sort of interconnected? I think you have to sort of go back to first principles, which is everybody agrees that land use and transportation, you know, everybody agrees about keeping greenhouse gases down. A lot of that stuff has already been sort of bought into. We have declared a climate emergency in the capital region. And then, so that's a good touchstone to keep going back to. Does this help us with that overarching policy?
Susan, I feel like we've just scratched the surface, and I would love to keep talking about this stuff all day, and would love to hear your thoughts on so many other aspects of regional governance and what's going on in Saanich. I'll have to let you go because we're running out of time, but I will definitely have to have you back on this or another topic, because it's been such a pleasure to chat with you.
Thanks, Dean, and I'm always glad to spread the word about transit in particular, because I always think the more people who have more information, the more they become supporters of having a good, strong transit system. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you. This has been another episode of Amazing Places. I'm Dean Murdoch. Thanks for listening.